Christian life is a lot like the celebrated tightrope artist. Balancing our opinions, our convictions, and our values becomes a delicate assignment. One wrong move, one thoughtless misstep, and we either hurt ourselves or damage a relationship. Welcome to Insight for Living. Today, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a five-day topical series we've called Balancing Grace with Love. No matter how long you followed Christ, all of us need to make choices that sometimes run contrary to the opinions of others in the family of God. Today's message is about discernment, wisdom, and grace. Chuck has titled his talk, Liberty on a Tightrope.
Join me in prayer, please.
We have sung, our Father, and our hearts have sung, and our minds have been cleared of the morass of things that rush in and preoccupy us. Decisions of last week, worries of next week, concerns over relationships and feelings of brokenness and even disappointment. And for some in our midst, grief. Thank you for those who come and are unfamiliar with you, our great God. Calm them and reassure them and give them a sense of belonging. Thank you in advance for the pleasure of your company as you enable us to open the Word of God and to draw black print from white pages and to see those words come to life and to gain meaning and momentum in how we live ours. Lord, we remember those in faraway, dark, dangerous places today. Watch over them. Take care of them. Those away from their families, take good care of those from whom they're separated. For families who await the return of their loved ones from their service to their country, encourage them, reassure them. And now, Father, as we give, may we remember that we are engaged in this before our one great God. And before this audience of one, we give you our words of praise and our offerings, gratitude, in the name of the Savior, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And now the conclusion of Chuck Swindoll's study in Romans 14, Liberty on a Tightrope.
Take note that not everyone is as far along as you are, especially when you are in a place where you could easily be an offense. Put on the brakes. Apply some control. Now, we have two or three reminders in this last part of Romans chapter 14 that I think are worth repeating. The first one comes from the 14th verse. Nothing is unclean in itself. That's just exactly what the verse says. I know and I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Last time we talked about meat that had been offered on the idol. We talked about those who observe one day over another, turning festivals and special days into a fetish. We talked about those who were offended by those who would eat meat that had come from a carcass that had, part of which had been burnt on an idol's altar. Paul says there's nothing to it. There's nothing unclean about the meat. There's nothing wrong with any day of the week or month or year. There's nothing innately wrong about it. Nothing is unclean in itself. You sit down to a T-bone steak that was cut from the steer, part of which had been offered on an idol's altar. There's no problem. The steak does not contaminate you, but there are those who have been raised in idolatry and have been saved out of idolatry, and they've not yet come to the place where they can see that the meat is okay to eat. They think to touch anything that was once on an idol altar is wrong. And so, Paul sets it straight. Nothing is in itself unclean. However, remember the control part, remember the love part of our balance. To him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. put in today's language, don't flaunt your liberty. There's a second reminder that appears down here in verse 17. The essence of Christianity is not externals, it's eternals. How easy to get hung up on tangible things and foods and habits and clothing and drinks and obvious things. But the organ of life's richest delight is not the stomach, it's the heart. I remember reading a story of a bride who was fixing a roast for her new groom, and she cut off the end of the roast and she put it in the pan. And you know, her husband looking over her shoulder, wondering, why is she cutting all that? Those are good pieces of meat. Not long afterwards, she's fixing a ham. She put the ham in the pan, and she cut off the ends of the ham. He said, wait, what is this? Why do you cut off the ends of the roast? And those are good. She said, my mother always cut off the ends of the roast and the ham. So the next time he was with the mother-in-law, he said, hey, Toots, or whatever he called her, you know. Hey, what is it about cutting off the ends? She said, well, my mother always cut off the ends of the ham. Well, finally they got a hold of the grandmother, and the grandmother said, well, actually, I had a real small pan, and I couldn't fit the big meat in the little pan. So I cut off the ham. I cut off the roast. You laugh, but that's about as much logic as your list makes for the rest of us. Please, you want to cut off the ends of the roast, cut them off. Just don't expect me to. And don't judge me because I like the whole roast. Now, here's the tough part, especially for those of us who love our liberty and stand firm in it and want so much for everyone to grow to the place where they can see how free we are. Here's the third one. Look at verse 20. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they're evil for the one who eats and gives an offense. Here's the reminder. When my liberty hinders God's work in someone else's life, I yield. When my liberty hinders God's work in someone else's life, I yield. I don't put them down. I control what I prefer. Now, let's go back to the restaurant. Let's put Paul sitting at the table with his buddies and some folks he doesn't know that well. And they've all gathered for great steaks. Everybody served a big T-bone steak, big, thick, mother, really nice steak, baked potato, asparagus, cream cheese pie, the whole thing. And Paul starts to cut into his steak. He says, this is great. Where'd you get this steak? And the guy across the table, the host, says, well, I bought it at the meat market. Some of that great meat that was once offered to idols. Two or three people go, whoa, no thanks. Paul notices. You know what Paul says? I'll take a to-go box. In other words, I'll have this at home. But there's no reason to hurt them because I happen to want steak right now. Just load up with a little more asparagus. Load up the potato. When my liberty hinders God's work, I yield. That's called maturity. When my liberty hinders God's work, I yield. Remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9? Just occurs to me. I want you to go there. The very next book, 9th chapter, look at the end of that chapter. Oh, I love this. 9:19. He starts right where we are. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I may win more. Look at that. The man who carried the torch for liberty and grace says, I care about other people so that I may win them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I might win the Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who were under the law. To those who are without law, the wild and crazy bunch, the group that's completely and totally pagan, I lived my life as though free of the law, and yet not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, here is this apostle, which is the whole point of chapter 9, where he begins with the defense of his apostleship. He says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. You want it to say all, don't you? I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save all of them. Well, he wishes that, but you'll never win them all, which may be where that comes from. When my liberty hinders the work of God in someone else's life, I care. Why? Why do I care? Because I love them. Now, everything has to be said in balance, because some hear only that. So let me broaden it a little and say, nothing is unclean. Remember that. Giving an offense is not what we want to do. So if you are among those who are weaker and you're just learning your way, think before you quickly admonish someone who feels the freedom to enjoy that. And you will be happier and you will grow up. I don't mean that to be insulting. I mean it to be encouraging. If you find that you're still living under the constancy of lists, you'll always stay immature. You'll become a professional weaker brother. I don't know of a better way to put it. And you become hard to live with. So, lighten up. Even though you may not ever want to get out on that tight wire, a lot of us like it out there. Now, I'm going to get specific because right now it's very safe and there's no risk in what I'm saying. Everybody says, oh, that's good, Chuck. Preach it. Tell them. So let me go a little further, okay? I think what we need are some warnings to guard us from stumbling while we're on the wire, okay? Here are three of them. One is in verse 21. One is in verse 22. And the third is in verse 23. 21. It's not good to eat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. So the warning is be considerate. Be considerate. Now, some of you read that and you say, oh, my mom and dad drank a glass of wine at the table. Oh, you know what is it? Kids can be really like that. Do you realize what Paul writes in Romans 14, 20? Remember the context. What you do in your home is your business. Okay? Remember the to-go box? Paul gets home that night, probably tears into the steak because he had to pass it up in the meal. Because to him, it's not unclean. What is unclean is drunkenness. That's never allowed, never encouraged, and never promoted in the scriptures. But a sip of wine or a glass of wine enjoyed in the privacy of your family or your home, it's your call. You want to observe a certain day and you think that, or you don't want to observe a certain day and you want the freedom to do whatever you do, whatever day it is, enjoy it. You just don't have to, tell everybody. I have freedoms I enjoy that you know nothing about. Now, that's going to be the talk of the lunch. What is it Chuck is doing that we don't know about? It is none of your business. The goal here is to be considerate of each other when you're around one another. I'd finished a long, long trip, sort of a involved itinerary that was sort of back-to-back speaking on behalf of Biola University. And this was years ago, up in Northern California, and I finished in a place called Santa Rosa, lovely little community there. And I was all alone and came to the restaurant, and I sat down, and a waiter walked over. And he said, good evening, could I help you? And I just going to tell you, okay? I've never told this story before. I sat down and I thought, boy, a nice glass of wine would taste great. Kind of a great ending to a wonderful week. I mean, it's nobody here that I know. And nope. And so I thought, well, and for some reason, this is a true story, some reason the waiter kind of lingered he said, just comment. He said, you look familiar. Or he said, your voice is familiar. And so he said, would you like anything to drink? I said, iced tea would be great. So and I finished the meal and all through, and I gave him a credit card to pay for it. And he goes, whoa, I knew you. And we exchanged comments together, and he said, I didn't know who you were, but I just decided to watch you. because I knew there was something that was familiar about you. I thought, all the time I'm eating my meal, he's over there watching me. And I got to know him, and I said, tell me about your past. He said, well, actually, I've come through a recovery program for alcoholism. And I said, boy, that's great. I admire that. It's wonderful. He said, and said some other things. I'm not going to go into all that. The point I'm making is obvious. You never know. And guys that are in my shoes can hardly be too careful. Now, if I go crazy with that, I mean, I'll never do anything but toothpicks and water when I'm out eating somewhere. Because somebody would be offended that I ate two pieces of pie, or somebody would be offended that I had raw meat. Not raw, but rare meat. I don't eat raw meat. I'm like caveman here. You know. Okay, verse 22, let's get back to it. There's a warning here. Be convinced. I like this principle. Be convinced. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. There is a verse for life. Determine your faith. Determine what works for you. And for goodness sake, do it. And you know what will result? Happiness. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. One day you're going to learn it's fun out on a tightrope, and it's a great way to live, and the exhilaration is beyond belief, and you'll leave the fear of what people think, and you'll walk out. That's what brings that acrobat out on that wire. That is, you are convinced in your mind, and for all the right reasons, you go there. Truth be told, some of you do not know what your convictions are. My heart goes out to you because you live your life pleasing other people or plagued by their expectations. You can't live your life like that. You want to be wise, you want to be loving, but you can't live your life afraid that around every corner is somebody that's going to find something wrong. So somewhere in the middle of this is a balance. I think you're getting it. Be considerate, be convinced. And finally, verse 23, he who doubts is condemned if he eats. If you're not comfortable, don't do it. Don't go against your conscience. And if your conscience needs to grow up, that takes time to let it grow and become what it ought to be. But do your best as you grow to stay consistent. Be what you are consistently the same. Hard assignment, isn't it? There was a time when Peter was hobnobbing with the Gentiles, and he was enjoying their diet, their meals. He was enjoying time with them. And then the Jews showed up from Jerusalem. So he turned and he started enjoying, you know, all the kosher stuff, and acted like he had nothing to do with the Gentiles. And Paul rebuked him and confronted him, reproved him, said, that's not consistent. Either you're a man of grace or you're not a man of grace. Bible teacher Ralph Kuyper paraphrases the verses this way. Peter, I smell ham on your breath. Forgot your certs. There was a time when you wouldn't eat ham as a part of your hope of salvation. Then after you trusted Christ, it didn't matter if you ate ham. But now when the no ham eaters come from Jerusalem, you've gone back to your kosher ways, but the smell of ham still lingers on your breath. You are most inconsistent. You are compelling Gentile believers to observe Jewish law, which can never justify anyone. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever isn't faith-based becomes sin. Doesn't it take a long time to grow this thing called a Christian life? You know what takes a long time is unlearning false stuff, wrong stuff, unlearning what isn't from the scriptures, but comes from the lady who had the small pan. It comes from the tradition of some ethnic group. Another one of those mottos worth remembering, not a scripture, but a statement. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Isn't that good? When I got out of seminary, I'm going to confess to you, everything was essential. Whoa, I'd die for everything. The older I get, the less I'll die for. Because there aren't many essentials. There are some. There absolutely are some, and we ought to be in lockstep, standing together in them. But there are more things that bring us together than separate us, which brings us to the non-essentials. Non-essentials. In all things, love. It's impossible to drive people away because you love them. Most of us just can't get away from genuine love, being loved. Loved. I want to tell you, at this place, at this church, whether you wear a Louis Roth tailored suit that costs $650 or cutoffs and sandals, you're loved. You have a place here. Whether you drive here or ride here on a bus or you drive a Rolls Royce, God bless you. Come on. We got room for you. Whether you lay on a heavy cosmetics just to the point where we really wonder what you look like, or or you don't even powder your nose, we love you. We need you. You're a part of us. Whether you vote Republican or Democrat, now there's not going to be many amens here. Whether you vote Republican or Democrat, whether you're a libertarian or out and out liberal or independent, you belong here. You belong right here. This isn't a precinct. It's a church. It's a family. Whether you prefer the translation I use or somebody else uses, or nobody else uses, it's okay. Whether you're a moviegoer, or you enjoy live theater, or you say, I would never go to a movie. I got a good friend named Ed, and his wife's name is Candy, and Ed was taught all through his early years, whatever you do, don't get caught in a movie. If Christ comes back and you're in a movie, you're going to answer for it. And so all the way growing up, until he and Candy were married, and finally he says, one day, Chuck, Candy and I went into a movie, and I thought, the devil is going to be in here somewhere. He said, I do remember when I sat down, I prayed, Lord, don't come right now. What's funny is those who say they never go to a movie stay up late watching HBO. If it's essential, let's agree. If it's not essential, let's relax. Let's relax. And most things are non-essentials. Okay? And whatever, what we need is acceptance and love. You and I need that more than anything on the planet. Let's pray. Lord, it's great to sit here shoulder to shoulder and in front of and behind someone else we hardly know. It's great to be here where the sound of truth is set forth. And there's breathing room. There's a realism. There's freedom. And there's room for questions and disagreement. There's a place even for those who just are filled with doubt. Even the cynic. There's a place there, here for that. Help us, Lord, in the growing up years of our lives, to stop taking our cues from other people. Help us to be so focused on you that pleasing you is really what we're about. And that is a mouthful and a lifeful assignment. And as we grow older, help us to become easier to live with. Help us to grow up, not just grow old. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion, power, forever and ever and ever and ever. Everybody say, amen.
It's critically important for each of us to know the difference between essentials and non-essentials. A defining message from Chuck Swindoll on learning to walk the fine line of love and grace. He's titled his talk, Liberty on a Tightrope. For resources, visit insightworld.org. Well, not long ago, Chuck presented another talk on essentials. This one wasn't a sermon. It was more like an unplugged conversation with someone who's gleaned some wisdom over 50 years in ministry. His talk is called Stuff I've Learned That I'll Never Forget, 16 Essentials from the Last 50 Years. When you give a donation, we'd like to send you the CD. Just remember to ask for the talk called Stuff I've Learned. Chuck, this is a critically important season of the year at Insight for Living, and we've had a number of listeners inquire about the timing of their year-end donation.
That's right, Dave. Even though we've begun a brand new year, it's still not too late to give your special donation. If you missed that opportunity to contact Insight for Living back during the holidays, how about taking a few minutes and doing that right now? Our staff has returned from their break, and we're all ready to take your call and to answer your letter, to serve your request any way we can online. Thank you for helping us begin 2012 financially strong.
You can easily respond to Chuck Swindoll's request by contacting Insight for Living. You can call 1-800-772-8888. Or you can choose to make your donation online at insight.org. And remember, when you give a contribution, you're invited to request the CD called Stuff I've Learned That I'll Never Forget, 16 Essentials from the Last 50 Years. It's the kind of straightforward biblical counsel you enjoyed today. And this CD is perfectly suited to pass along to a colleague at work, or perhaps a son or daughter. Then perhaps today's the day you'll raise your hand and say yes as one of our monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to give a donation every month. Whether you become a monthly companion today or give a one-time donation, be sure to request the CD of 16 Essential Lessons from Chuck called Stuff I've Learned. Call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll will resume the series, Growing Deep in the Christian Life, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Liberty on a Tightrope, was copyrighted in 2008, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.